But right now we head up to the North Dakota Pork Council office, and Tamara Hines joins us now. Hello, Tamara.
Hello, how are you?
I am pretty good, thank you. I know you had your annual meeting last week, and how was it?
Yes, well, it was good. Thanks for having me on today. We'll just talk a little bit about some of the things that we covered there. Of course, African swine fever is the number one topic, and only because trade is number two. And we just had a recent outbreak in Bulgaria, so now it's moving into the European nations. So we're just trying to keep our biosecurity as good as we can, both on the consumer side and the farm side, and hopefully we can keep that bugger out of here.
Boy, for sure. Not only out of the U.S., out of the entire North American continent, I think.
Exactly.
Oofta. This is, it has devastated the Chinese hog industry, and it's just, now, what is the, from your opinion, Tamara, what is the most likely way that African swine fever, if it does, would make it into the U.S.?
Well, scientists believe that the most probable way would be for it to come through tainted meat products, like from a tourist coming from another country accidentally or intentionally bringing a tainted meat product into the United States and passing it through there. It's a very contagious virus, and it's a very complicated virus, and they're working on antivirals and vaccines, but it's a large, large DNA, and it's very hard to figure out how they can come up with an antiviral. So right now our best defense is biosecurity. So the biggest concern we have in North Dakota is that at any given time there's over 1 million pigs in transit across the United States, and we have quite a few isolines and things that come from the Canadian border through on I-29 through North Dakota for their destination. So that's our biggest concern about African swine fever is if we would get a positive diagnosis, what would we, you know, the pass-through pigs, we were concerned about them. So our farmers are getting ready for it, and they're doing the best they can and making plans and contingency plans if the worst-case scenario does arise. So.
Yeah, I never saw that coming. It's kind of a situation where there are a lot of semis with Manitoba plates that are on the way to John Morrell and Sioux Falls, and they head down I-29 through eastern North Dakota.
Right, yeah. So we're working with our state veterinarians and with USDA and APHIS to make sure we have a plan in place for if we would get a positive diagnosis. But hopefully we won't have to initiate any of those plants.
Right on. Yeah. Another reason why you and I are talking about it today, just to raise awareness for everybody. Now, you use the term tainted meat. It wouldn't be bad meat necessarily. It would be something.
I don't mean tainted like it would be spoiled or not fit for you to consume. And if you would consume, it would not affect you one bit. This virus is only affects pigs. It doesn't affect humans whatsoever, but you could carry the virus to another person who goes into a pig farm and then they could spread it. I mean, that's how incidental and accidental it could be to spread the disease.
Yeah, or somebody going to a country, like you said, Bulgaria, China, obviously, Russia on the border with China has some, Vietnam, a lot of countries on the Pacific Rim. So you go there and you walk through these open air markets where they all got all this kind of sausage and real unique stuff hanging there, and you buy it and pack it in the suitcase, bring it home, and that is a way that African swine fever might end up in the U.S.
It could be one route, that's for sure.
Yeah, don't want that to happen. So, all right, now this is a totally different kind of biosecurity then, because, with PEDV and the other porcine diseases of the last 5-6 years, we learned the Danish entry method and all of these other biosecurity, no more kindergarten field trips through the hog barn and all that. So, but for African swine fever, this is a whole two gears higher, huh?
So the biggest thing about PED taught us to be a lot more, I think the word's paranoid maybe, about biosecurity. So it really taught us to do a better job. So I think we're in better shape than we would have been a few years ago had this come to fruition. But I think the thing about African swine fever is that it's a trade disease. you know, if we would get a diagnosis, we immediately would lose all our export markets, and that would be, you know, financially, not only would be the pigs getting sick, but the financial burden of losing our foreign markets. So,
yeah.
But you know, you just have to remember that it just only affects pigs and it doesn't affect humans, and pork is still safe to eat, so you don't have to worry about that. But that's what makes it so much more, heightened than it was with like PED. So.
For sure, yeah. And as the Amber and crew do their work at the North Dakota Livestock Alliance, we'll get more pigs in North Dakota, more pig farms. That's good. But Minnesota has got a few more than North Dakota. Last week at Farm Fest, there was an awesome panel discussion about African swine fever and the urgency and the education that's important. The not the state veterinarian, the executive director of the Dave Preisler down there, he said pointed out that the virus will survive, I can't remember the exact, but it's like several months in a refrigerator. In a freezer, it could survive longer than that.
Yes. That's what makes it so hard to, you know, hard to control, is that it is an animal that kind of seems to survive no matter what we do to it.
Yeah.
It takes some pretty specific measures to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But
alrighty. Well, enough on the bad news. Let's talk about some good news. We got more pigs, more pig farmers in North Dakota?
We do. We do have more pigs. We have more pig farmers. We're excited about seeing some interest in some growers that might want to do some everything from the backyard level, organic, all the way up to, you know, having a finishing operation. So, on a larger scale. So we're excited. We still believe that North Dakota is the land of opportunity. We're like the last frontier when it comes to having pig farms because of our low pig density. We have great biosecurity. This, like, the bad part is we don't have a lot of pigs, but yet the good part is we don't have a lot of pig farms. So that is going to help us grow and develop in the future, we believe. So we're watching the corn market as well, just like everybody else is. We've experienced some profit for the first time in quite a while, but a lot of that will hinge on what happens with the price of feed and cost of feed in the future. So,
well, farmers are good at buying their seed middle of the winter, or buying their propane long before they need it, filling up the fuel tank long before they need it. Now would be a good time to buy that corn. It's on sale.
Well, you don't have to worry about that. These farmers here are the best of the best about doing what they can to lock in profit, because margins are pretty tight, and their belief is the only thing they can control is their input costs. So they're very astute businessmen when it comes to things like that. So,
yeah. You know, we've got these impossible food, these plant-based foods coming up. Of course, they're focusing on the beef, the ground beef and all that, because that's the easiest. But I don't think there's ever going to be a plant-based bacon. I just can't imagine that.
Well, it was interesting because 80% of the food products that are marketed with pork in them are processed pork products. I just saw that statistic the other day, and of course, bacon leads the way. But the sad part is bacon's a small part of the carcass that we collect from a hog as far as value goes. And people love bacon. You know, National Pork Board has never spent any money on promoting bacon, and yet it has a cult following, and bacon is great. Everyone loves bacon.
For sure. Alrighty. Well, as far as the business of the North Dakota Pork Council, what resolutions did you pass, or what are the important business from your annual gathering last week?
Well, we elected some new board of directors, so we're excited to have those guys on our board of directors to serve for another year and serve for a few more terms. We also made our selections and elections for our pork forum delegates, which would be like the national annual meeting of the National Checkoff National Pork Board in March in Kansas City. So we did some elections there, and of course we had updates from National Pork Board and from the National Pork Producers Council, which is the policy and legislative arm of the pork industry. So we had a good turnout, and we were And we also did a pig farming 101 where we are kind of focused to small farmers who might be thinking about getting started, or youth that might be thinking about taking their 4-H project and raising some pigs with that project. So we've got that put together, and hopefully we'll be able to reach out to other parts of North Dakota with that pig farming 101 further on down the line over the winter, maybe, and if there's some interest in that. So,
well, if there are any farmers out there who say, oh, I got a shed back there I could put some pigs in, or if they want to attend a pig farming 101, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can go to the website, or they can go to our Facebook page, or they can just email me at director@ndpork.org.
Gotcha. All right, Tamara Hines, thank you very much for the work you do, for the update and the report. And we were busy at Farm Fest last week, so apologize.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't promote your annual gathering, but we covered it today. So
we did, and I appreciate it. Anytime I can help you answer any questions, or help the public answer any questions about pig farming in North Dakota, please let me know.
Right on, because bacon is king, but man, I love a good pork chop too, so we gotta,
yeah, me too,
more pigs, more power. So thank you, Tamara.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of the week.